Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At John Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. It's a Thursday. If you want to get in, hit us up on any of those. Be happy to get your takes on things. So Lance Erline joined us for, well, basically two segments.
Too long. Sorry.
No, I'm not sorry. Okay. We had fun. That was fun. I think the listeners liked it. And even if they didn't, you and I had fun with it.
You know why David Gow is so smart to keep our show together?
Why is that?
Atlanta-based radio giant Cumulus Media has filed to reorganize in Chapter 11 bankruptcy with $2.4 billion in debt. You know why? They got rid of us.
Exactly. They sold us off.
Stupid, stupid dummies.
You know what?
They had the choice. They could have gotten rid of Ruland Ryan or us.
How'd that work out for you? Just curious.
Not great.
It's worked out pretty well here.
Yeah.
For us? For David?
Of course, the way this works, basically, they file for bankruptcy, and then everything goes on as normal. Like, they're going to keep all their stations. Everything's going to go on the same. They just don't have to pay people back that they owe money.
Right.
But, which is, to me, it's BS.
It's kind of chicken bleep to do that.
But
well, I mean, even Houston, Entercom bought CBS here.
Yeah,
so a lot of stuff's going to be changing.
I know iHeart has like tons of debt.
Oh, yeah.
I keep hearing they're about to hit bankruptcy, but I haven't seen it yet. It would be great if every station except for ours went out of business. Mm. That's what I'm waiting for that day. I'm just trying to ride that out.
I like our chances of being around for a while. Not our show, but our station.
Oh,
our company.
If the station's around after me, I don't care about it. I don't want that to happen. If a station gets rid of me, and I told I've only been fired once in my life, and I told him when he fired me, I said, I'm telling you now, this station is never going to be anything, and that station doesn't exist anymore. So I'm glad I was right. And when David Gow fires me here, I'm going to tell him the same thing. This station is going to burn to the ground without me here.
I think you'll be okay. I think you pretty much have a job here as long as you want one until you get bored and want to do something else.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. I think we're in pretty good
shape. If I leave on my own accord, I'll wish them well.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's.
Yeah. But if they fire me, I'm it's fire and brimstone.
You're not getting fired as far as I can tell. Well, did you have to dump Lance twice while he was in here?
Yeah, I thought he said something.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
I did. Yeah. I only dumped him the first time because the second time the context changed a little bit.
Yeah, it was, and it wasn't two words together.
No, no, I think he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Just making sure you were awake back there.
No, I was. You saw me slide roll across the room.
That was fun. Hey, another Jimbo Fisher story if you'd like to hear it. ESPN's Mark I never know how to pronounce his name.
Schlabach.
Okay. Because we've had him on the show, and I always have to ask you every time. That's one of those names that I look at, I know I'm pronouncing it wrong, so I just don't do it. That dude Mark from ESPN?
Yeah.
He reports that...
Not Mark Schlereth.
No, not Mark Schlereth. The other...
Mark Schlabach.
Yeah. But he reports that FSU officials are urging Fisher to make a decision about whether he will accept an offer to become the next head coach at A&M or stay with the Seminoles. He apparently wants to wait until after Florida State's game against Louisiana Monroe on Saturday, but there is concern that he is hurting the team's recruiting. Three high school prospects, cornerback Houston Griffith, offensive lineman Vertus Brown, and safety Israel Mukuamu, announced on Twitter that they have decommitted from FSU and are opening up their recruitment again. And that obviously has to do with reports that he's considering the A&M job. So, says Texas A&M fired Kevin Sumlin over the weekend. If Fisher stays at Florida State, the Aggies will likely turn their attention to Oregon's Willie Taggart.
No, Florida State will?
No, the Aggies.
The Aggies will, says, if they don't get Jimbo Fisher.
And it says, should Fisher leave, Taggart could become FSU's top target, which interesting.
That's another one. Like, is Oregon to A&M, is that an upgrade, an uptick? I think of that as like a lateral move.
Well, I don't get, well, and I've said the whole Willie Taggart thing yesterday. I don't get the whole leave Oregon after 1 year thing. And are we that sold that he's the next big thing?
I don't know how good he is. I mean, they've got a lot of good people in place. Oregon, when they had their quarterback this year, looked very good. When they didn't, they were very bad. So I don't know how good Willie Taggart is. Maybe he's good, but
I don't know that we've. I know that
he hasn't been a head coach long enough.
Well, no, that's the thing.
In a major program, right, for me to know.
We're treating him like he's the next big thing without, you know. Well, let's see.
Yeah,
because you're right. Before the quarterback got hurt, they looked really good.
And after he came back, they looked really good.
But here's what he's done as a coach. Western Kentucky was 2-10 in his first year.
Is that good?
That's not good.
Not
good. Hey, first year, you're willing to give him a pass, right? 7-5, 7-5. Now, Western Kentucky has gone on to be better than that since he left.
Yep.
But that's all right. He went to South Florida. First year at South Florida, 2-10. Then 4-8. Then 8-5, 10-2. That's the progression you like to see. But he basically had one round of recruiting classes there and then a 7-5 year at Oregon. So we don't know yet. I mean, he had a really good team in 2016. Well, guess what? So did Charlie Strong this year. They also went 10-2. With their only losses coming to UCF in the championship game. And, of course, the one out-of-nowhere win by the Houston Cougars. So, and he says, I thought Taggart signed an extension with Oregon. And the extensions don't mean anything.
They don't.
They really don't. Like, Gary Patterson signed an extension, but his name keeps cropping up. I know Matt Campbell signed an extension. Now his is like a 6-year extension, so maybe that says something. But
yeah, they went. Oregon went 5-1 with 6-1 with Herbert at quarterback, and they went 1-4 with him out. Mm. That's pretty telling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, he's doing a good job with recruiting. I mean, clearly Oregon is intent on keeping him. And it's not like 7-5 at Oregon is a dream season for your first year. You would have liked to have done better than that.
But that's, again, not a terrible effort. But
I think they see it as a start to something. But, listen, man, if you do well, people are going to want you. Yeah. And there's worse things than that. And to go 7-5 a year after they went 4-8, it ain't bad.
No. And you know, I think he'll do well there. But I just would be, I mean, I've kind of covered this yesterday. I don't like guys leaving them big schools after 1 year.
Yeah.
I just think that usually if you're doing that, it doesn't work out. Didn't work out for Lane Kiffin very well.
Nope.
When he did it, but 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. Hey, I didn't get a chance to mention this, but I'm sure you saw this the other night in the Texans game. I've been wanting to bring this up. The Joe Flacco Raven graphic the other night, did you see that?
No.
The dancing Raven Joe Flacco graphic?
I didn't see it.
John, did you see this thing?
Yeah, I saw it afterwards, though.
Oh, okay.
You didn't see it? It looked weird.
That was
weird as mild.
Weird. That was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Who was sitting around going, let's put up a graphic of Joe Flacco as a Raven looking sad because he's having a bad year, but flying around when he was having a good year? Did they have 5-year-olds doing their graphics at ESPN now?
And this is before the layoffs.
Yeah. Dad, can I make a Raven? That was so awful. I'm curious if there were people out there that liked it. Have you seen? You should watch it on the break. It's brutal.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, somebody said that thing was ridiculous. It just was so weird, man. Here's a good question, maybe for you.
Okay.
Hey guys, any thoughts on Josh Gordon as a fantasy option?
I mean,
who's going to throw him the ball?
That's the problem. Josh Gordon still plays for the Browns, so I wouldn't get too worked up about it.
Although he did have a career year with Brandon Whedon throwing him the ball.
Brandon Whedon's better than Deshaun Kizer.
Yeah.
Cole brought up Taggart took over Western Kentucky after the transition from FCS to FBS. And, yeah, that's three pretty good years there for that and built up something that then has gone on to be very good. But I like the South Florida progression. But, you know, it's 1 year at a major school.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what I always look for is that guy who's got that kind of progression at a school where you come in and you take over something that's really bad. Although South Florida had talent when they went 2-10.
Yeah.
They just weren't good. And you got to have a quarterback. That's the other part of it. They're saying I'm hearing a lot of that the NHL really wants Houston now. Do you think that's going to happen? Talked about this a little bit when Tillman took over the Rockets. I do think it'll happen sooner rather than later now because the NHL needs a guy like Tillman for Tita. It really does. And I think there's some options out there. I would expect it to happen. As long as Les was around, I kept pushing it back. Remember 5 years ago you asked me that. I said, by 2020 it'll happen.
Yeah.
Well, then the more I heard about Les's opinion on the thing, it's like, okay, 2025. Well, now that Les is gone, I don't think 2020 is ridiculous anymore.
It wouldn't shock me. I keep hearing about it. I just don't understand how the NHL keeps – I mean, they move teams constantly. It's weird. Like, think about how often a team moves in the NFL. It's pretty rare. The NBA.
Well, you say it's pretty rare.
We just had a burst of it.
We basically had three of them move here last year and a half.
When's the last time an NBA franchise moved? Like, the Pelicans moved to Charlotte?
Yeah, that's probably it.
Or right? I guess the Hornets moved to Charlotte.
Right, and then
– and then the Pelicans got a team back. The Thunder moved – or the Sonics moved, and they were the Thunder. I mean, it happens like – once every 10 years or so. The NHL, it seems like every year, every other year, another franchise moves.
Well, they haven't really had one in a while. I think the last one was Atlanta to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And that's going back.
How long ago did Atlanta get that franchise? It lasted like just a couple years, right?
Yeah, they weren't there for very long. But I'll have to check. But I don't remember exactly what year that they went back to Winnipeg. It wasn't that long ago. But no, it was 2011.
Okay.
And before that, it was 97.
That someone moved?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So
then they're expanding.
But see, what you're thinking about, though, is they did expand, but there was a stretch there, basically 93, 95, 96, 97. There was somebody moved every year. Minnesota moved to Dallas. Quebec moved to Colorado. Winnipeg moved to Arizona. Hartford moved to Carolina. But then there was nothing until 2011. So that's probably where you're getting that idea.
Maybe so.
But there are some teams that need to move. I mean, the Panthers are in Florida are just not doing very well. They drew when they had their one good season a couple years ago. I still think Carolina is the perfect match. So 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And somebody asked, would they still be the Arrows or would there be another name? I don't know who owns the Arrows name, but I'd kind of like to see something new and fresh because it would be a big league team as opposed to, you know, WHA was big league, but that was back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And nobody's alive from there except for me. But, all right, guys, I have to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers. And, man, I love my mattresses from Texas Mattress Makers. I've got both of the ones in my house, and they're so comfortable. They're custom fitted. And the best part is affordability. And they're taking their Black Friday shopping into this week. And if you didn't do any Black Friday, you didn't miss anything because Texas Mattress Makers has you covered. You know you're already saving 50% off real retail prices when you go to Texas Mattress Makers because they make the mattress right there. They sell it directly to you. They custom fit it for you. The quality of these things is amazing. And now, how about this? 26% off any mattress in the showroom on top of that. So you get comfort and support and more with these Black Friday specials. Texas Mattress Makers is going to get you the best sleep at the best price. And they've got handcrafted quality, and they're custom fitted. Where else but with Yuval and Texas Mattress Makers? Yuval and Rachel and all those guys over there. Just go over there, tell them you want a mattress. Tell them you're a Blitzer. They're going to take care of you because they love the Blitzers. and they just love helping people sleep better. That's what they do. They also do a lot of charity in the community. Love doing business with Texas Mattress Makers. You will too. Visit them at TexasMattressMakers.com or at 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation off I-10 East. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. I think it's time to pack it in.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman from The Blitz. BetDSI is one of the internet's top sports books. Don't ask me, just check out the sportsbook review sites. They are rated A+. They've got an impeccable reputation, fantastic features, easy deposits, and speedy withdrawals with pretty much every bet type imaginable. Go to BetDSI.com right now. Use my promo code BLITZ25 to get a $25 free wager just for registering. You can bet parlays, teasers, straight bets, futures. BetDSI.com offers lines on nearly every sporting event you would want to bet. Nothing makes watching football games better than wagering while the action is live. BetDSI offers live betting and prop bets while games are in progress. But they aren't just a world-class sports book. BetDSI has a fantastic online casino and racebook. You can bring Vegas right to your living room or take it on the go with your mobile device. If you ever get bored of betting on ball games, there are plenty of other ways to get some action at BetDSI. You can find odds on politics, reality TV, and pretty much everything else. If you're looking for a different online sports book, you've come to the right place. Over 20 years paying winners, use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. If you decide to deposit, you'll get a 200% bonus match on your money right now. Play on the go with their easy-to-use mobile interface. Once again, go to BetDSI.com, use promo code BLITZ25, and get a free $25 wager on the house and 200% extra bonus when you deposit. That's BLITZ25 to get your free wager and start winning today.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. This one quick follow-up on that, but somebody says they should not move the Flames from Calgary. I agree on that. I don't want the Flames moving here. I think there should be more teams in Canada, and I know they're having problems with the Saddle Dome, but great following there. It's a great market that they need to get that worked out. Lamont asks, both of you answer, how would you rank this year's football season, pro and college? I must say it's been underwhelming, almost like incomplete, no true greatness.
Well, I just said I agree with him on no true greatness, but I don't know if it's parity or mediocrity. I mean, I don't know if everyone's just kind of equal or everyone's just kind of
yeah, meh. College football, I think, has been it's been interesting. It's always more interesting to me when, like, LSU is in the mix, or Texas is in the mix, or A&M's in the mix, or UH is having a season like it did a couple years ago, because I think those teams make football in the area more interesting, if that makes sense. And none of them were really very good. I mean, LSU got better as the season went on, but they weren't really ever in the hunt.
Right.
And A&M was pretty much dead from the first game, and so was Texas. Yeah, and then I kind of lost some enthusiasm when UH lost to Tech. But, you know, I tend to enjoy watching the games. Now, I've spent a lot more time handicapping them this year, which does take some of the drought. As far as the NFL goes, my level of enjoyment of the NFL has kind of gone down year by year. When Deshaun Watson started playing, that's the first time in a long time where I was like, man, I'm excited about not just Deshaun Watson, but Carson Wentz and guys like that. That there's a fun new group of quarterbacks now that have come up that it's going to be cool to see these guys go after each other for a few years. And then when Watson got hurt, I got to admit, my interest in everything just kind of went away because there's not a lot of great teams, especially in the AFC. It's the Patriots again, and we're just like, okay, yawn. I don't think Steelers can beat the Patriots right now. And no. I was thinking all along that that would be the team, but they haven't shown me that they can. So we're just going to go through another season. It's going to be Patriots and then somebody they've already played, probably Eagles or Panthers or something like that. And then the Patriots are going to win again. And it's going to be, meh. Or Falcons even. And the Falcons will be up 28-3 and lose again.
Probably so.
Yeah. So, or it'll be the Vikings and all they do is lose Super Bowls.
I mean, we're waiting for someone to step up and sort of foil the Patriots.
And it looked like it might be the Chiefs when the season started. It's like, okay, this could be cool.
Yeah. No. Now maybe it looks like it's the Eagles. I don't know.
Maybe.
The Eagles have never won a Super Bowl, though. I don't.
And I don't know if they're going to get there. I mean, I right now I'd make them the favorites to get there out of the NFC, but that's a, you know, there's a lot of pretty good teams over there. The Vikings, the Rams. Yeah, I think the Falcons, Saints, Panthers are all
Seahawks.
Yeah, Seahawks are still, to me, even with all the injuries, they're not dead. So none of those teams would shock me if they got to the Super Bowl. It's just who's going to get hot in the playoffs. So I don't know that it's.
And who would have thought if I told you at the beginning of the season the Cowboys, Giants, Packers had no chance of making the playoffs, Cardinals even, throw them in there.
Yeah, if you
would have thought, well, the NFC is probably pretty bad, right?
Yeah, that's not the case, though.
No,
if you gave me that, gave me all those, and gave me $1 million, and said you can bet that one of these four will make the playoffs, I would have gone ahead and dropped $1 million.
Yeah,
and then I'd be in a soup kitchen the next day. But yeah, I think the other thing for me is the whole World Series and playoff run that the Astros had. Was so much work that when it got over with, I was kind of sportsed out. Not just footballed out, just sportsed out.
Right.
It's just like, man, I need a break. And then, you know, I took a few days off last week and came back and kind of fired up about this weekend's game, especially colleges. And we'll talk to Brad Powers next segment. And I'm very excited to talk to him about some of these college games because I think there's some good ones and there's some rematches that could go the other direction. It's going to be a fun week.
Yeah.
So...
And the numbers are moving quite a bit.
ESPN is your number. Do you guys have an idea of what day or segment you talked about the Eli benching? I just got back from a week in Calgary. I think we talked about it.
Day before yesterday?
Yeah, whenever it happened.
Tuesday?
Yeah, the day it happened, but I don't remember the exact segment. A couple people asking a hammer.
Did you see that Eli? I saw it in one spot, and I don't know if it's.
That was a fake Adam Schefter tweet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Eli asked for his release.
Yeah, and a bunch of knuckleheads picked it up.
Yeah.
That was fake news.
I figured that was fake news.
You are fake news.
Well, because, I mean, we talked about this, you know, when we did talk about it, that unless they find a trade partner, the Giants are stuck with him through next year.
Yeah.
Like, they can maybe get rid of him in 2019. But Eli Manning, unless they trade him, will still be on the Giants next season.
Yeah, unless the Browns will give him, you know, take a pick for him.
Why would the Browns do that?
On his contract and then cut him because they got cap room.
I guess.
They did it once before.
Yeah. So okay, we'll take Eli Manning and a second round pick. And yeah.
Yeah, and then we'll cut him and we'll eat it. Somebody says, I hammered the under 47 tonight. Tell me I'm not an idiot, please. I don't have any opinion on that. I don't mind the under, but I also could see Cowboys have had a full week because they played Thanksgiving Day. Well, so the Redskins, I guess. So.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is going to be your standard Thursday night game. But yeah, I have no opinion on that number. Sorry. Is that D? Let's get D on. Sub D. What's up, D?
Sports, fellas. How y'all doing?
Sports.
I was just calling in, man. You had mentioned about football kind of like not being up to par like it normally is. And I was just calling to agree with you. Like, you always hear Trump talking about the ratings are lower because of the protest and whatnot. But I don't think that's the case because, like, on Thursday nights and Sunday nights, you get so many games that are just mediocre. Well, the teams aren't playing for anything, so who really wants to watch this? So I'm just trying to get y'all take on what do y'all think it is? What's the issue as far as people not really being interested in all these games that they have every week?
And well, listen, first of all, the ratings being down is sort of...
This is a trend that's been happening. We talked about this last year.
The ratings are down, but the ratings for television as a whole are down. People watch less TV now. A lot less people have...
Or they consume it in different ways. They're watching on the tablet. They're watching online. I mean, you're watching on your phone.
Yeah,
those don't count for ratings.
A lot less people have cable now than did last year, and a lot less people have it last year than had it the year before. Like, more and more people are cutting the cord.
Yeah. My wife was trying to figure out if we could do that, and she went through and was kind of getting all the stuff that we had to have.
What'd you tell her? No?
I told her no. I said, yeah. I don't care because I'd rather pay more money and have one service rather than have to have three different things.
I don't need that. I mean,
she's gotten too into this, you know, she's got an Alexa and all this stuff. She's gotten all into this whole weird thing. She wants to have all that, whatever that Fire Stick or whatever they call it thing is. She wants to have all that hooked up together. I'm like, dude, enough. You know, you're turning my house into something weird here.
I just like having DirecTV come to my house and give me all the things I want to watch there.
Listen, just go and tell them we're about to switch, and they'll drop the price again, and we'll be fine. So,
and I watch Netflix. I watch Amazon. I mean, I have those things too.
Yeah, I do too.
But television makes everything easier. But either way, my whole point is the ratings are down for everything. So the ratings down for the NFL are relative to the ratings down everywhere. You know, at the same time, the you know, and this doesn't matter what you think politically, but CNN or Fox News, their ratings are down too. But that's all relative to what they were a year ago when more people had CNN and Fox News. Less and less people are having cable, so the ratings are going to go down for Monday Night Football and things like that.
Yeah, and I also think just that's one of the things, like, you kind of pirate yourself when you say, okay, we're going to put Thursday Night Football on Twitter or on Amazon or whatever streaming thing you're going to do. Well, okay, the games aren't that interesting to me. I'd rather watch them online while I'm doing something else and then watch something else on TV that's more interesting. And that does affect the ratings. But, no, I don't think it has anything to do with the protests. I think there's some people who are just using an excuse to not watch anymore because the product has gone downhill.
Yeah.
All right. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
They say newcomers have a certain smell. Yeah, trust issues not to mention. They say they can smell your intentions. You laughing on the freak show.
ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on The Blitz. And joining us now, as he does every Thursday at this time, one of my favorite segments of the week. We're running out of games, though.
I know.
Brad Powers, lead college football analyst for pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. Brad, what's going on, man?
Not too much. Echo the sentiments there. Only about 16 regular season games and 40-some bowl games, and that's a wrap.
Hey, I want to start you off with one that one of our listeners wanted to ask about. He wants to know what you think about Georgia, because he's all over this. It's his largest play of the year for him.
Not only that, but I liked Georgia too, but now I'm hearing Kerryon Johnson's probably going to play. What's Kerryon Johnson's effect have on the way people are looking at that line too?
Oh, you know, look, non-quarterbacks obviously aren't, you know, worth that much of the line, but in the case of Kerryon Johnson, the fact that, hey, they're dealing with cluster injuries already at the position with their second and third string guys backed up. I mean, he going from a first string guy like Kerryon Johnson to a fourth string guy might be worth a couple of points on the line. Look, I think he'll play. I just wonder, you know, if he's going to be 100%. If he's not 100%, then to me, you got to downgrade that position maybe a half a point. I'm in the Georgia camp, too. Biggest play of the year for an SEC championship game. No, you're not going to hear me say that, especially, I mean, considering the West is absolutely dominating the championship game. How about 8 straight wins, 6-2 against the number? But I got to think, look, at the setup here, Georgia's got revenge. Like the situational spot, they're playing close to home in Atlanta. We're just playing in Atlanta last week, so I got to think they're staying at the same team hotel. They'll make adjustments compared to what they had in the previous matchup, catching Auburn off the big game in the Iron Bowl. I like the Bulldogs here plus the points, but it isn't game of the year material for me.
For tomorrow night, everything to me says USC. I liked them better when they were at 3. Now it's up to 4. But everything says USC to me, except for USC against the spread is trash. And USC suckered me a couple times this year. What are your thoughts on Stanford-USC this weekend?
Yeah, I'm with you. I played it at 3 and bet it at 3. Not thrilled about the 4, but I'm still going to lean that way. I just love the situational spot. I mean, how many times in the history of conference championship games, I don't care if it's a Pac-12, SEC, or any of them, has a team come in off a bye? That's the case for the Trojans after playing 12 straight games. They got a bye last week. On the flip side, you got Stanford playing 5 straight games that are decided in the fourth quarter. Don't let 38-20, you know, last week's game against Notre Dame fool you. That was a 20-17 Notre Dame lead entering the fourth quarter before, you know, a meltdown with three turnovers. USC dominated the first meeting between the two teams, outgained Stanford by 300 yards. That's a heck of a lot of yards to make up in this one. Yeah, Trojans to me are the play. And the only other concern I would have, Clay Helton versus David Shaw. To me, that's advantage Stanford, so that's a little bit concerning for me.
Another rematch is Memphis and Central Florida in the AAC championship. And I like Memphis in this game. I think Central Florida, some of the distraction with Scott Frost and that he's openly talked about he'd be hurt if Nebraska didn't come on. And obviously they're playing for a lot. But Memphis is, after that first game where Central Florida torched them, and they have quietly just been getting better and better each week. Now, the second half of their schedule was a lot easier. But tell me why I'm wrong on Memphis.
You're not wrong. No disagreement for me. I bet Memphis at an early 7.5 number. Maybe it'll go back. Probably anticipate it to go back up north of a touchdown. Everyone wants to bet on Central Florida. I like the energy level for Memphis. They haven't extended too much effort here the last 3 weeks, blowing out teams. I wonder how much Central Florida's got left in the tank after that to-the-wire game, one of the more exciting games of the entire season so far against South Florida, their arch rival last week. They were outgained by 100-some yards in that one, outgained even in the Temple game where they blew Temple out, but they were +5 turnovers. Scott Frost might be a little bit distracted slightly there. I think advantage Memphis in all categories. Give me the Tigers plus the points.
You and I, and I think Fred, too, a couple weeks ago, we all liked UL Monroe against Auburn, and obviously it was a good situational spot, and they came through for us there. I like them plus 27 here against Florida State. It's a game that, you know, we've talked about this. UL Monroe, they can score, and they will score on Florida State. And if they score, you know, 20 points, you're asking a lot for Florida State to get up into the 40s. What are your thoughts on that match?
Agree. I'm going to take them. UL Monroe yet again here, second time in 3 weeks. And look, you see, hey, Florida State finally put some points on the board last week. They got 38 points. Very misleading. I mean, they only had 12 first downs, only gained 216 yards, had a couple of defensive touchdowns, a couple of other turnovers, set up short field position drives for them there. Yeah, I had too many points to lay with a mediocre Florida State offense. And also, Jimbo Fisher, I mean, are his bags packed there for College Station? If so, is he 100% into the game plan for this week? Too many points to lay. UL Monroe plus the points is a pick.
What about TCU, Oklahoma, another rematch here? Again, Oklahoma with everything to play for here. I'm not sure TCU, other than an opportunity to go to a New Year's Six Bowl, has much to play for. But if Kenny Hill shows up and doesn't turn the ball over, can't TCU stay within the number on this one?
I can, and that's the big thing. Kenny Hill has got to protect the football. He didn't against Iowa State. If he turns it over 2-3 times, they have no chance. But I expect TCU to play with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. We've heard in the media that they didn't take their players getting thrown at in a pregame there in the first matchup prior to the game too well. So I think they'll be plenty motivated. And, man, this to me just has that feeling. Everyone's talking about the three other big championship games, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Clemson, Miami, and the SEC championship game. This one's the 11:30 Central start, maybe Oklahoma slow out of the gates. And we've seen the Big 12 title game cost the Big 12 in the past. They wanted this championship game. The reality is they don't need it this year. Oklahoma would already be in the playoff if the season already ended. Something tells me that they'll be regretting that decision maybe here. I like the Horned Frogs plus the points here and probably shade in a little bit of money line. Wouldn't be a bit surprised if they pulled a huge shocker here.
Well, I've got another game that it confuses me, and usually when it's too good to be true, it is, but this is such a head-scratcher to me. Why Fresno State is catching 8.5, 9 points in some places against Boise, a team that they just beat. And I granted, it's at Boise now. The Mountain West Championship is at Boise. But why is the line so big there? And when you look at Fresno State, they're one of the most underrated teams in college football. They've had one bad loss all year. They lost to UNLV. Their other two losses, at Bama, at Washington, they're very, very good. And they're 8.5-point dogs against a team they just beat. What's going on with that?
Well, here's why. Boise State last week at Fresno State was laying 7. You don't want to overreact too much to that loss there because I think they had a sneaky suspicion they were going to get the return game at home the following week. So I'm not sure they had 100% of the playbook open to them on both sides of the ball. And I thought that game meant a little bit more to Fresno. If you look at pure line, Let's go back to last week's line. 7 points for Boise State. You do the home-away flip, 3 points for each team, and I would probably give the Smurf Turf 4 points. That meant Boise State would normally be laying 14 points. So there has been a significant adjustment compared to last week's game. So off of that, I think it's a little bit of an overreaction. This is the one game where I've disagreed with you so far. I'm going to lay it with Boise State. Everyone says, oh, they're terrible on the blue turf. They're not terrible when the line is in single digits. Yes, it's usually inflated, but they've covered their last 9 conference games when they've been laying 10 points or less when it comes to being a home favorite.
Let's talk about this Miami-Clemson game. Pretty big jump of the line. It opened at 5, now at 9. What are your thoughts on that one?
It's starting to get too pricey for me. What a terrible line. I wish I could have taken advantage of that 5. That actually opened here in Vegas on like a Saturday night while the games are still going on. I can't believe that they made that mistake. It's very tough for me to go against Dabo Swinney. You look at the last 5 years, if you look at just the postseason, I'm talking ACC championship games, bowl games, playoffs, national championships, 9-1 straight up, 9-1 against the spread. Yes, Miami has played up to the level and down the level of their competition all year long, but those two big performances against Virginia Tech and Notre Dame, we're at home. This is going to be more of a road atmosphere here in Charlotte. I expect 75-80% of the crowd to be supporting Clemson here. Anything less than 10, I'm taking the more reliable team, the Tigers, minus the points.
All right, that's Brad Powers. And, Brad, I would love to have you on to ask you about 2 more games, but apparently we've got a fire alarm going off here, so the people aren't going to be able to hear you.
It's thrilling.
Anyway. Yeah.
Hey, fair enough, guys. It was a pleasure talking to you.
We'll talk to you again next week, man.
All right, sounds good.
All right, so that's Brad Powers, lead college football analyst for pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter, at BradPowers7. And I guess let's go to break, and hopefully
I'll go check it out.
All right. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975. And we're back on the Blitz. It's time to get on the map. SportsMap.com is your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports on the internet. Net site covers all your favorite teams, trends, and events. Check out content from some of your favorite radio hosts, John Granato, Charlie Polillo, Barry Warner, AJ Hoffman, me, and more. If you aren't on SportsMap every day, you're missing out. Check it out right now, SportsMap.com. So we find out what caused the alarm. I mean, we were kind of on time, but I wanted to keep Brad for a couple more questions. So
no idea. Tyler said the fire marshal was on our floor.
So they were doing a test of some sort?
I don't know.
You don't send a fire marshal to a fire.
Yeah.
I wouldn't guess. Nice of them to do it during our show. You know, there's several other local shows on the station. Lance and John, yeah. pretty good show.
Yeah, ruin their show.
Yeah, Raheel and Del. Do it during Raheel and Del's show. If they want to test the fire alarm.
Yeah. That's a new show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've asked the building multiple times to do it after 7.
We always get stuck with this. And now I have a headache because that... And why is it our alarms have to be that screeching? It really. Okay, we get it. We get it. Okay, yeah, you're testing the fire alarms. Or there's a fire and we're all going to burn up and die. The fire can wait till 7:02. Let us finish the show. Oh, well. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Brother Bear asks, choice, play poker and smoke with Willie Nelson and Snoop or watch a boring movie with bald Natalie Portman?
That's clearly a question for you.
Yeah, and yours is Lazy River with Carbach or Day of Barbecue with Killens. I think you know my choice. As much as I love bald Natalie Portman,
yeah, but you're like,
playing poker and getting high with Willie and Snoop is
yeah. Yours are both like once in a lifetime things. Mine, that's just stuff that I do.
Yeah, I mean, well, but I did. I was in an elevator smoking weed with Snoop, so that's close. But bald Natalie Portman, I can masturbate. I don't need that.
Okay.
Plus, she's getting older, and I don't know if she'd be as hot. I mean, that movie was made in like 2006.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
What does it say about me that poker and weed rank ahead of sex now in my life?
Well, was there sex with Natalie Portman?
Well, yeah. Watching a movie. Just watching a movie.
Okay,
a
movie. That's like a really easy answer for me.
Yeah, that's not even close. But if you're talking about I get to hit it.
Then it's at least a discussion.
Yeah. A discussion, but I'm still going with the weed and poker.
Really?
Yeah.
Even if you were single?
Yeah.
Oh, not me.
Listen, there's a lot of beautiful women out there that aren't
But
famous.
That's like your number one thing. You're bald Natalie Portman.
Well, I mean, but I would rather play poker and get high with those guys.
Man.
That'd be more fun for me.
Okay.
And it would last longer. There's that, too. Yeah. All right, so here's your gem of the day, speaking of sex. We go to Florida, where a ballet instructor by the name of Lindsay Hensley Clark. I'm always suspicious of the hyphenated names. 38-year-old ballet instructor. She has a studio where she teaches. So she's a ballet teacher, as a matter of fact. Not bad looking from her, but it's a glamour shot photo.
Glamour shots? Like she got it done at the mall?
Well, yeah, one of those kind of things.
Okay.
My flavor, though, she's a redhead.
Okay.
So I'm kind of thinking, okay. But she was arrested on a misdemeanor dating violence charge. Spent 12 hours in custody before being released yesterday on her own recognizance. Apparently, she got into it with her boyfriend, Chad Sherbo.
Sherbo.
And struck him in the face during a late night dispute in her apartment in Palm Harbor, which is a Tampa suburb. The argument was over sex toys and a laptop.
That makes sense.
Isn't that? Yeah, it does make sense, right?
Yeah.
That he was probably on the laptop and sex toys were involved. Said they got into a verbal argument. Lindsay admitted to slapping him as she was upset over what he had said. Probably said, this is much more interesting than you. So, yeah, she got arrested for that. Women can get arrested for slapping dudes because they're ticked at them now? Is that the thing?
I don't know.
Apparently,
I mean, that's assault, brother.
Well, no, it's not assault. It's called misdemeanor dating violence.
It's misdemeanor dating violence for a woman to slap a man?
Apparently, yeah.
But if the man slapped a woman, that's a six-game mm-hmm. suspension.
Yeah. I've got the arrest report here. It says Lindsay Clark did actually and intentionally strike Chad Sherbo, her boyfriend, who she has been, wait, okay, this is embarrassing, an intimate, I-N-T-E-M-E-N-T relationship, intimate, ongoing for more than 1 year. Hey, if you're going to do a police report, spell intimate right. She slapped Chad with an open hand on the left cheek. During an altercation over sex toys and a laptop, they got into a verbal argument. During that argument, she admitted to slapping Chad as she was upset over what he had said. That's your police report.
All right.
But I think the bigger story here is that they have an intimate relationship.
An intimate?
Intimate, yeah. I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
But that'll probably get you slapped.
It will.
And that's your Zadok.
That's slapping.
That's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
And it's got their actual address on here. So if you want to go by and visit her or him, yeah, it's in Dunedin, Florida. So people are strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, don't slap anybody. Don't slap your partner, your radio partner or your sex partner. The only time violence is good, boxing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Organized violence. Miguel Cotto, I'm going to miss you. Six-time world champion, 4 weight divisions, future Hall of Famer, and this Saturday, last stand for a legend. Miguel Cotto's last fight. Allegedly, who knows? Boxing, you know what these guys do. He'll be back maybe. But this is the planned last fight for Miguel Cotto. Live on HBO World Championship Boxing, he's going to defend his junior welterweight title. Live from Madison Square Garden against Brooklyn native and top contender Saddam Ali in a battle of undefeated boxers. Ray Vargas and Oscar Negrete are going to take on each other for the Super Bantamweight Championship. It's going to be a great night. Cotto versus Ali. That's live this Saturday, December 2nd. And, of course, Miguel Cotto, one of the greats, 41-5 with 33 knockouts. The first native of Puerto Rico to become the world champion in 4 different weight classes. And we're going to be sad to see him go. And I for sure will be watching on Saturday night to see Miguel Cotto's last ride. That's Miguel Cotto versus Saddam Ali this Saturday, December 2nd, 9 o'clock Central Time. And you can see it only on HBO.